What is going on, everybody, and welcome to, let me get these off, these are uncomfortable. Welcome to an episode of the podcast, number 39 or 4, I don't remember at this point, but that is not important. What is important, fights happened last weekend, and they're happening again this weekend, and boy, did Mr. Dana White put together just an absolutely spectacular card. We are going to get into that here in just a minute, but before we do that, let's talk about last weekend's fights. Another Apex card. It kind of flew under the radar a little bit, especially with the card the week before being as good as it was. But this card was kind of fun. There's a couple guys I want to talk about. Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott's back. He's won 3 out of his last 4. He looked really good in that fight. He's really kind of seems to have turned a corner. And he seems like the Tim Elliott of old. A lot of guys forget. Almost beat DJ. He looked really good in that fight against DJ. And that was when he was just coming off of, I believe he won the Ultimate Fighter. He was really young and he looked fantastic. If you guys haven't watched that fight, I implore you to go back and watch that fight. Also, I don't know how this could even be addressed, not be addressed, talking about last weekend's fights. Khalil Roundtree looks like he has hit a fucking new level. And you know the fight I want to see him put up against put on next? I want to see him. No, not Pereira. He's ranked number 11. He's not going to fight Pereira next. But I would love to see him fight Johnny Walker. I know Johnny Walker, I believe, has that rematch versus, I believe it was Ankalaev that got stopped early. But I know he's got that fight. But I would really love to see the Khalil Roundtree versus Johnny Walker rematch. Maybe we do that for a title. I know Jamal Hill is supposed to fight for the title. I'm not saying don't have Jamal Hill not step in and fight for the title, obviously, but I would still love to see Khalil Roundtree versus Johnny Walker one more time. His striking is way better than it used to be. I remember him saying when he was on Rogan's podcast, when he got knocked out, he was in that clinch, and Johnny hit him with that elbow, and that's what made him go train Muay Thai in Thailand. He was over there for almost 2 years, and boy, has that paid off. He is one of the most vicious strikers, especially in the light heavyweight division. Just everything he throws looks like he throws it with ill intent, and I love watching that dude fight. I think he's on like a 4-fight win streak. Dude's looked incredible. And then also the main event, Song Yadong versus Chris Gutierrez. And listen, I know that fight wasn't the most exciting fight in the world, but Song Yadong did something a lot of guys aren't going to do. Take as a guy who's ranked number 7 and take a fight with a guy who's ranked number 15 who really doesn't have that many big wins other than that really big knockout win versus Frankie Edgar, and fight a dangerous guy that's not ranked, you know, top 5 when they're just number 7. And just really did whatever he wanted with them. Just a fantastic performance. Song Yadong is absolutely the real deal. And I'm really excited to see who they have him fight next. But that covers last week. Guys, this weekend might be one of the most stacked cards I have ever seen in my life. These are notable fights. These fights I'm about to list off right here are not even on the pay-per-view. A couple of these are on the early prelims. We got Irene Aldana. She's ranked number 5th. She's fighting Carol Rosa, who's ranked number 5. We have Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher. That's going to be an insane fight. That's a sick fucking fight. And then we got Dustin Jacoby, who's ranked number 15th at light heavyweight. He's fighting Alonzo Menafield, who's ranked number 14. That fight's going to be insane. And then we have in the feature bout of the prelims, right before the prelims start, it was supposed to be Josh Emmett versus Giga Chikadze. But instead, Bryce Mitchell steps in on short notice to fight Josh Emmett. That fight's going to be fun too. Emmett's ranked number 6th. Bryce Mitchell is ranked number 10 in the world in featherweight. And that fight is going to be insane as well. And just even looking at this fight card, other than those fights that I have mentioned, I mean, top to bottom, just Randy Brown, he's fighting. Andre Feely fights. Like, Ariana Lipsky, Caitlin O'Neal, that's an incredible fight as well. And, I mean, this card is just, you're getting what you're paying for. It's going to be absolutely incredible. But those fights should be interesting. There's a lot of implications there at 135 pounds for Irene Aldana and Carol Rosa, especially with the belt being on the line, the division kind of being split wide open. This is for Aldana's first fight since losing to Amanda Nunes. And now Nunes isn't there. And, yeah, that could whoever wins that fight could easily be like, oh, I wants a title shot next. It's probably not going to happen, but it could easily happen. And then Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher. It's just like 1A, 1B there. Those guys have very similar styles. That fight's going to be incredible. And then Dustin Jacoby and Alonzo Menafield, both guys with just absolutely insane power. Insane power. That'll be fun. And obviously Josh Emmett and Bryce Mitchell are going to be incredible. Let's talk a little bit about the main card, guys. Main card's going to be fucking vicious. Opening up, Ian Garry versus Vicente Luque. And here's something I want to address. Obviously, Ian Garry's getting shit on a little bit. I get it. It's not cool. I don't think it's cool, but here's the thing, Ian. You're the one that kind of started all this. You made the video, you know, with you and your wife saying, oh, she's not in it for the money, blah, blah, blah. Then fucking Sean Strickland gets involved, and he's always blows things out of proportion. MMA guru fucking literally finds the book where she writes how to fucking get an athlete. And then now you're like, I'm scared for my safety. Now he just came out and said he doesn't know if he's even going to be at the press conference. And, like, I get it. Like, no one wants their wives to get involved, especially in the fight game. And he's like, I don't like being disrespected. But what he did when he fought Neil Magny, being a fucking dickwad for absolutely no reason. You guys saw the end of that fight. Neil had nothing bad to say about him the whole week. And he was like, had so much animosity towards the guy. The guy's like one of the nicest dudes on the roster. Has no animosity towards you. You fucking flip him off at the end of the fight. You fucking push him. Like, it's fucking stupid. And you're like, I don't like it when guys are mean to me. And now you're sitting over there crying because people made some points. And I get it. I don't like involving family in the fight game. But anyway, that's off topic. What is on topic, though, is Luque is 1-2 in his last three fights. He is coming off a good win versus Rafael Dos Anjos. His other two fights, Bilal Muhammad, Jeff Neal, both losses. Bilal's on a big win streak, and Jeff Neal's a great, really good fighter. But these guys have very similar styles, honestly. I think Luque's jiu-jitsu is something he might want to utilize in this situation versus Ian Garry, because Ian's so powerful, and his hands are incredible. But this is Gary's first big test, just beat Neil Magny. He knocked out Daniel Rodriguez, who was really on the climb up until that point. But that fight, that's going to be an absolutely incredible fight. And then, right, guys, these I'm listing these in order. Just listen to how incredible these fights are. Then we got Paddy Pimblett versus Tony Ferguson. Tony's obviously on a little bit of a losing streak. Six-fight losing streak. Hasn't won a fight since 2019. It's 2023 now. Here's the thing. I was watching Paddy also hasn't fought in a year, and I was watching his last fight versus Jared Gordon. Excuse me. I am thirsty. Paddy doesn't like fighting going backwards. Every time he had pressure on him, anytime he was pressured at all, he would lift his chin straight up in the air, just like this, go back, and Jared would crack him with a left hand. And Tony's obviously training with David Goggins, right? Oh my God, Ika. Anyway, sorry, my cat won't shut the fuck up. This is a very bare bones podcast here. I'm in my fucking kitchen right now. Things happen. If the cat's not meowing, it's not a podcast. Am I right? You know what I mean? All these fucking podcasts are way overproduced these days. They got fucking, like, podcast studios. I don't mean just like, oh, it's like fucking, you know, studio space for podcasts. I mean, guys sign on to do a podcast. It's fucking retarded. Anyway, I'm just here having a good time, trying to talk fights with you guys. The cat meows, the fucking cat meows, you know what I mean? Am I mad? Yeah, I got mad at her. I yelled at her. She's a fucking cat. She'll be fine. But hey, that's half the fun. Anyway, when Patty's backing up, he leaves his chin straight up in the air. And Tony's been training with David Goggins, I think. And hey, listen, hear me out. I know what people are saying. Patty said this himself. He thinks he's going to overtrain him. He's not going to be ready to fight. I think what his strategy with that is going to be: pressure forward the entire fight. The whole fight, because Patty leaves his chin in the air. Power is the last thing to go. I know Tony's not what he used to be, but power is the last thing to go. And I think that is, if that's not his game plan, I don't know what his game plan is going to be. But I think that's the only way I see Tony beating Patty. I think Patty beats him on the ground now. Not Tony Ferguson 4 years ago. Tony Ferguson now. I think Patty's better. I think his striking is, I would say, cleaner. I wouldn't say better. Tony's obviously a lot more creative. And he's probably been doing it a lot longer. But I think it's, you know, a lot more crisp. But that should be a very interesting fight. I really don't know how that's going to go. If I was a betting man, I think I'm going to have to put my money on Patty Pimblett, as much as I don't want to. But look for that. Look for that strategy in Tony Ferguson in pushing forward. And then this fight is going to be absolutely fucking insane. Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Boy, oh boy. This is Wonderboy's first fight since December 3rd, though, against Kevin Holland, where he looked fantastic in that individual fight. Something interesting about Wonderboy, obviously he's known for being a kickboxer. It was like 39-0 or something insane as a kickboxing record. He hasn't had a knockout other than his last fight against Kevin Holland. That was a doctor stoppage since 2016 when he fought Johnny Hendricks. I really think that's the only way he gets Shavkat out of there, which he very easily could. Shavkat does leave a lot of openings. But what I think Rakhmonov does in this fight is he's really good. His hands are not as good as Wonderboy's. His striking isn't quite that level, but it's pretty close. He stood toe-to-toe with Jeff Neal, who's also a very good striker, and did very well, had a lot of success. But what I think he does, he uses those hands to get close. He clinches, tries to take him down and look for a submission. Shavkat has, I can't remember how many submissions he has, but I think it's more than he has knockouts. Yeah, he has 9 submissions and 8 knockouts, has a 100% finish rate, which is absolutely insane. 100% finish rate. I don't see this fight going the distance. I think someone's going to sleep, whether it's with a choke or if Wonderboy can sneak one of those picture-perfect right hands in with his point karate style. But I really can't wait for that fight. I have a little bit of cash on that fight. I have Shavkat by submission. I got $20 on that. See how that goes. But I would not be surprised at all if Shavkat wins that fight by submission. How many submission losses does Wonderboy have? I don't know. Let me take a look here. I'm honestly curious about that, because you don't really see him going to the ground a lot. He has no losses by submission. Wow. He's 17-6, one knockout loss against when he fought Anthony Pettis, and then the rest are by decision. That's interesting. Who knows? Maybe this fight just stays standing. If this fight stays standing, that's going to be fucking absolutely incredible. I would love to watch that. And then you got your co-main event. You got the flyweight title of the world. We have Alexander Pantoja versus Brandon Royval. Back in 2021, these two have already fought. Pantoja submitted him in like the second round, and the fight really wasn't that close. Pantoja kind of overwhelmed him. And if I'm being honest with y'all, I kind of think that's what's going to happen again. Royval is obviously very good. He's on a 3-fight win streak, but I don't know, man. Pantoja's just so fucking good. That performance he put on versus Brandon Moreno was just absolutely incredible. Resilient, determined. I mean, the dude is a fucking savage. And then you watch him on the Embedded, and he's like, I just want to get better every day. I want to train better for my family, my kids, my wife. I want to pretend like I'm not the champ. I mean, just saying all of the right thing, all the things you think he should say. By the way, I fucking hate UFC Embedded. And hear me out. It's not because I don't think... I watch every episode of UFC Embedded. I hate it because I get... I start watching the first one last night. This is Wednesday, so I'm a little bit late. And it's just... fucking... It starts with Wonder Boy fucking picking kids up from school and taking them to the after-school program. And then it cuts to Alexander Pantoja saying how much he loves his family and his wife and his kids. And, oh my God, I just love him so much. And I look up to Junior Dos Santos and Amanda Nunes. And then it cuts to Brandon Royval. And he's with his nieces. And they're like, he's the greatest uncle in the world. We love him so much. We're so proud of him. And then I got to tune into these fights Saturday night. And someone might get knocked the fuck out. I hate it. These guys are all, they just seem like the greatest guys in the world, and then I gotta turn the fucking TV on and see him get fucking kicked in the head. That's the fight game, though. That's why we watch. But God, I hate that. God, I just, it's not fair. They're all so nice, but that's, yeah, that's the game they play. That's the game we all play, right? And then, guys, we got the main event of the evening: Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington. I'm excited for this one. Edwards on an 11-fight win streak. Hasn't lost since he lost to Kamaru Usman in 2015. So what's that, 8 years? Dude hasn't lost in fucking 8 years. It's absolutely insane. And on the flip side of that, Colby Covington has not lost a fight against anybody named anybody other, to anybody other than Kamaru Usman since 2015 as well, when he fought Worley Alves. Think about that. He has 3 losses, and 2 of them are to Kamaru Usman. That's fucking insane. These guys basically have the same arch nemesis. It's hilarious. How I think this fight is going to play out, though. Colby obviously loves the pressure, push forward, use his wrestling, use his cardio. He's never throwing anything, you know. He would hate if he heard me say this. He's not going to hear me say this, but he would hate it. He's kind of like a Nate Diaz, like a Nate Diaz back in like 10 years, like when he was younger. You know what I mean? Just pressure forward, using his hands. Never throws anything 100%, throws everything at 70%, uses his cardio as a weapon. He's just always digging shots to the body, head, body, head, body, head. Gets on your legs, looks for takedowns, relentless with those takedowns. But if Leon Edwards can stop those takedowns, and then Colby just keeps pressing forward, not getting those takedowns, and looking to stand and bang with him, Leon's going to fucking clip him. He's going to counter him. He has beautiful counter shots. He sets things up so well. If you guys want to watch something insane tonight, go watch Leon Edwards just doing pad work. Just how clean everything is. Everything's crisp. When I saw him, there's a clip of him like 2 days out before that first Usman fight, throwing that exact same combo on the pads that he knocked Usman out with. And I remember thinking to myself, if that head kick lands, because that fucking left high kick he throws is fucking, it sounds like a shotgun on those pads. And I was like, if that lands, and I think it can land, don't, I'm not going to be sitting here and pretend I fucking know everything. And I'm like, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to happen. But I was like, if that fucking lands, that's going to be nighty night. And it was nighty night. So, that being said, Colby's got to get on those legs early. He's got to get on them often. He's got to look for takedowns. And he's got to be relentless with it, which I know he is. But it's also going to leave him open to a lot of counters from Leon Edwards. I think that about covers it for the day, guys. Guys, fucking absolutely incredible fights that we're blessed to be watched this weekend. I can't wait. I know you guys can't wait. And if you can wait, you're like, oh, I don't get it. I don't like watching fights. Shut the fuck up. Watch some fights. Be a man. That's my biggest pet peeve in the world. When fights, like, I used to work at a nondescript location. I'm not going to tell you guys where I used to work. You guys might know. You don't need to know. Fuck you. Anyway, and there's lots of TVs on. Sometimes I'd put a fight on the TV, and people would come up to me and be like, you guys have something this gross and disgusting on the TV? Yeah, it's shut the fuck up. Quit being a pussy. Watch some fights. Have a beer. Relax. This is America. All right? Relax. What a bunch of fucking pussies saying that shit. Anyway, that's my pet peeve of the day. But I think that does it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. If you guys tuned in, video is going to be up on YouTube now. So if you guys want to watch my ugly face, fucking go for it. I implore you to. I'd appreciate it if you did. Yeah, links are going to be in the description of YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all that good stuff. I thank you guys so much for listening. If you are, have a great evening. Enjoy the hostilities on Saturday night.